This is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. The epistle is taken from the Apocalypse. In those days, God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come, but woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if your hand or your foot is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This feast in honor of St. Michael, he's the one in the title, but it includes all of the angels, was occasioned by the dedication of a church in his honor, and the liturgists mentioned several churches. There's one in the 6th century on the Salarian Way, just north of Rome, but they also mentioned the dedication of his special sanctuary in Mount Gargano in Italy. But there are other ones mentioned, so they make a little bit of a jump there when they say this feast is more universal than just dedication of a particular church, because it's St. Michael and the angels as guardians of the entire church. So we want in this moment to reflect on the feast and the saint, the angel, and the other angels. We want to take a little time to think of what the angels are, and then about St. Michael in particular, because the feast is singling him out, and his relationship to us as we can trace it through history, to the present, and, as the Apocalypse says, to the future. So let us begin. First, we all know about the angels that they were created before the material creation. We can look see those words in Genesis as St. Augustine describes it to us. That their creation was before all material creation. That they are one of the chief creatures of God, the other being men, and they are pure spirits. They do not have a body, they have an intellect and a will. And without the body as a means of gaining information, they see things intuitively. That means they see them as they are. They penetrate the essences of things. So that once they see something and understand it, when the will attaches itself, in the case of an angel, it is irrevocable. Once they seize onto the good, it is never changed because no information can be received that'll change it. And so from the first moment of their creation, and God is a loves to create, so we don't even know the number. It's almost infinite. We know it is limited, but it's almost infinite. He created them. He gave them sanctifying grace. He gave them a share of his life, the Trinitarian life. And to come to live with him in heaven, he asked them, he tested them. We don't know the exact nature of the test. Speculation about the incarnation was revealed to them. But fundamentally, they were asked to live with him in heaven. And some of them, again, because of the Apocalypse, where it talks about the dragon with his tail dragging a third of the stars from heaven, the scripture scholars think that Lucifer, the bearer of light, the highest of the angels, was perverted to feel, they don't have feelings, but to think and to will that he was satisfied in the natural state that he had of an angel and did not want, did not feel he needed heaven. And so God had to create a place for them, and we call that hell. That is a place for the fallen angels. It is not a place for us to go, but that is where some people choose to go. And that's a whole other story, how that happens, the psychology of sin and evil. But at that time of that great contest, St. Michael, whose name means who is like God, so that when the angels began communicating their thoughts at this moment, and Lucifer, as the highest, was immediately communicating his thought that I'm happy being the way I am. This went through the ranks, and we have the hierarchy of the angels. We have the nine choirs broken down into three hierarchies, the ones closest to the heavenly throne, and that includes the thrones, highest of the choirs being the seraphim, then the cherubim. And we see all these different choirs mentioned throughout the scriptures. The cherubim, for example, we know one of those is the one that guards the way to paradise. So we have specific jobs of the different angels throughout history, salvation history. Then we have the second hierarchy that looks out for all of creation. The dominations, the virtues, the powers. That's the second group. And then the third group of the hierarchy, which has more dealings with us. And so we know them as the angels, the archangels, and the principalities. And so angels, as St. Gregory tells us in the text for today's Divine Office, the angels, which we call them generically, really is a name we give them based on their function. Because all of these are pure spirits. So when we talk about angels, we're talking about specific spirits that are messengers. That's what the word angel means. They are messengers. So our guardian angels come from this choir. So that is the story of the angels, telling about them and our own. And we, our community, of course, has a great devotion to, of course, St. Michael. All Catholics have that, and all Catholics have devotion to the angels. But in the community, we have a strong devotion to all the angels. And so we wish to emphasize that for everyone, as our Father Superior has said, that we have to have a devotion to our own guardian angel, But as many, as you think of Pope Pius XI, or think of Padre Pio, these holy people teach us to have a devotion to others, other people's guardian angels. There's no reason why we're limited. So that to pray for, when we come in for Mass, and the angels, they help us to pray. That's their first thing that they do for us. So they help us to pray. So when we come in for Mass, to ask our guardian angel and ask the guardian angels of everyone there. Pius XI, whenever he would be going into a difficult meeting, he would say his prayers to the Holy Ghost, to his guardian angel, and then he would say a prayer to the guardian angel of his opponent, let's say, so that guardian angel would work on that other person to hear the words of the Pope in the meeting. So we can do the same thing. And then we can pray to the guardians of our city, of our state, because that's what these, of that second hierarchy, the guardians of communities, the entire community here, of our religious community, of the sisters, to invoke them to help us. First of all, to pray, but to avoid temptation and all the things that we know we need. So that's all about the angels. And it's interesting, I can't remember right now what feast this week. I think it was just the Ember Day. On Ember Saturday, as St. Paul is talking about the worship of the old law, how it was a preparation for the new, and walking into the holy, and then to the Holy of Holies, going through the veils, and talking about the ark, where was kept the golden pot, as it says, holding the manna and the rod of Aaron, everything. And it tells us that this holy place was had over it the two cherubim, the golden cherubim. And this is interesting about their role in worship. But also it's interesting how, because of the commandments that God gave them not to have any false idols, they were very strict about it. But in this case, they had a depiction of the cherubim. Very interesting how that came through. Even, it was obviously sanctioned by God. He's the one that told them what to do. But that's how powerful they are. And thinking of course, it's always good for all chapels to have this, but we do. Having angels flanking the altar to remind us of their presence. Always protecting the Blessed Sacrament, and of course at Mass, more here. And then in this tabernacle, which we don't often get to see because of the tabernacle veil, which it's all reminiscent of the worship that God established in the old law. How we have the veil, going through the veil, and inside the tabernacle, by the way, there's a second veil where we go into the Holy of Holies, where God himself is, where the heavenly manna is. And on the doors of our tabernacle, we have two angels, reminiscent of those cherubim, protecting our Lord always. So many things can be said about the angels. We have the Guardian Angels Feast coming up, and then we have St. Raphael later in October. So it's a month almost of angels. But we want to now talk a little more about St. Michael, who is, of course, by name, the saint, the angel name for today. We have a constant, from way back, reference to St. Michael. We have him mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but we also, and this is interesting, the oral tradition, which of course that's the mark of a Catholic, that we understand that the two fonts of Revelation, we know even from St. John's own gospel, that all the things could not be written to contain everything just our Lord said. So we know that the oral tradition is a more abundant one of the sources of Revelation. And we have things in Revelation that are actually part of oral tradition. So the written word is codifying oral tradition, and in particular, we're thinking of now this is not a canonical book, but the Testament of Abraham is what it's called. Not inspired text, but reflective of the oral tradition. How do we know that? It has made its way into the Mass, the Requiem Mass. The offertory of the Mass, I'm talking about this because I mentioned St. Michael, how he will, working with Abraham, save these souls in purgatory. That's taken from this Testament of Abraham. So it's kind of a verifying of oral tradition that way. We also have what is called the Assumption of Moses. Again, apocryphal work, but codified in the written inspired word by St. Jude the Apostle, where he describes what was happening there. That the devil tried to seize the body of Moses when he died to do some evil with it. Maybe to prop him up to the people as if he is the person to follow. And it tells, St. Jude tells us, St. Michael came and stopped him, protected the body of Moses from being abused. And that's where, and that his response, what St. Michael said, is part of the prayer of St. Michael, where he says, let the Lord rebuke you. Those are the words of St. Michael, stopping. But that's an interesting point. We'll leave that there. But tracing more. When Joshua led the people into the Promised Land and he attacked Jericho, we know the story, and they walked around every, you know. There's a little line in there just before that. Just before he began, it says, one showed up in front of him, and Joshua stopped and said, are you a friend or a foe? And he answered and said, I am the captain of the heavenly host, and I have just arrived to help you. This is, scripture scholars believe this is Saint Michael, the captain of the heavenly host. That role was one that he had always. It says, and it's interesting, curious, in like the litany of St. Michael or the prayers about St. Michael, it says he is called St. Michael, first champion of the kingship of Christ. Pray for us. It's an interesting invocation. So that when St. Michael battled with Satan at the beginning, he was already championing the kingship of Christ. Is that an indication of what that test was about? Very interesting. We won't pursue that just for now. But that he was the one given charge of the people of God to protect them in history. And we see in the book of Daniel, another prophetic book, how it talks about him as the captain of the people, as in a contest with the guardian angel of the Persians who would not release the people, the Jews, from their Babylonian captivity because the angel of the Persians was looking out for them. The more that those Jews were in captivity, the more his pagan people were being influenced and getting better. And so St. Michael had to come, Daniel the prophet explains this, St. Michael had to come to tell, to command the angel to release them. That was the step for them to be released from their Babylonian captivity. And so we have here in the Apocalypse, not in this verse of the opening book, the opening words of the Apocalypse, where it refers to the seven spirits, because we have from tradition, the St. Raphael describes himself as one of the seven spirits that stand before the throne of God, that we have as the other ones, these heavenly archangels, in particular St. Michael. And there's a whole question we cannot go into in the time here about which one of the choirs is St. Michael. By his name, St. Michael the Archangel, we immediately think he's one of the rank, the choir of the archangels, which is, that's the predominant one. But others say that he is one of the seraphim. He and his brother Lucifer were the highest, and that's where the conflict between them. But we want to take a look as we go into the Apocalypse. This is later on in the famous chapter 12, which begins with, and a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, which is from the Mass of Our Lady's Assumption. But verse 7 describes this original contest. And there was a battle in heaven. Michael and his angels, battled with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they did not prevail, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast down, the ancient serpent, he who is called the devil and Satan, who leads astray the whole world. And he was cast down to the earth, and with him his angels were cast down. And we see in the divine office about that battle and how silence, it was a battle in silence, of course, because they don't have voices, but a contest. And we just point out, as the scripture scholars point out later in chapter 13, this is just an interesting little thing, how the name of St. Michael is powerful against the devil, that it talks about a parodying of the name. This is in chapter 13, verse 4, talking about the beast and what's to come. And it says, and they worshipped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. This is the Antichrist and his false prophet. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like to the beast? And who will be able to fight with it? Who is like unto God? Who is like unto the beast? So there's a parody on the name of St. Michael. And we know the answer. Who is able to fight with it? That's St. Michael. Prophesied. And as Father Kachera went into on the feast last year, the story behind the prayer to St. Michael that we say at the end of every low mass, that is a contraction of the full prayer that Pope Leo XIII composed after this vision he had, that he finished Mass and suddenly was dead, really. Everyone around him thought he had died. They couldn't get a pulse or anything. And then after a certain time, he came to and just absented himself from everyone and went into his study and in 30 minutes composed this whole thing of what he had seen, of this contest that was to come. And again, St. Paul talking about the man of evil and everything and how the unchaining of the evil one. Well, that's St. Michael is the one who keeps him in under check. Okay, here's the thing that we want to comment on about the gospel for this Mass. Why is this gospel? We see right away where it talks about scandal and to be careful of the children because of the fact that their angels, so we, you know, the guardian angels that we each have, they see the face of God always. We see that. But there are other things here. The whole story of what's going on with the apostles, how this is one of their moments to be taught by our Lord and everything, that's a lot to be said. We can't go into that. But when we talk about St. Michael as our great defender, as the one who fights against Lucifer, and we're this banner, first time we're using it, very impressive. Of course, it's a great piece of art that you've just put on the banner, showing this contest, and St. Michael is on our side. See, the victory has been won. We're just the soldiers today. But it's already been won. And sometimes we feel downcast because the forces against God's cause seem powerful, and they are, just like the devil is powerful, but not all powerful. And the proof of the fact of St. Michael's protection is the fact you're here. The fact that we have the Mass at all. The fact that traditional chapels have a great devotion to St. Michael's. Many of them are called St. Michael's Chapel. We, of course, have the great statue of St. Michael. This is a hallmark. In fact, St. Alphonsus Liguori said, it is a sign of predestination to have devotion to the angels. So the people who deny the angels, doubt them and everything, they're jeopardizing their salvation. But when we talk about St. Michael as our great defender, as the great warrior for our cause, and St. Paul tells us, we're not fighting with swords and spears, against wrestling. We're wrestling with principalities and powers. That's what he tells us. So what are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual combat. And what are the hallmarks of this diabolical enemy? Well, first of all, pride. First, it says in Scripture, he said, I will not serve. I will not serve you, God. I will be your enemy. So when we think about that, those are the things we want to avoid, and that's what St. Michael is going to help us to do. So we talk about right here in the beginning of this gospel, our Lord is reminding us, whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So first of all, we have to be humble. St. Michael will help us to do that. He will help us to fight the devil. We will serve God. So what is one of the great hallmarks of St. Michael? He is the protector of the liturgy. He is zealous for the kingdom of Christ. And so we have him at the offertory leading the incensing, part of the blessing for the incense. He says, the angel with the golden thurible standing at the right side of the altar, looking out for the entire worship. He is the one that protects God and serves him. That's what we want to be. We want to fight that devil's words of, I will not serve. We want to say, we will serve. We will serve you in your liturgy. We will praise you, O God. We will be humble. We will be zealous. We will seek you out in Holy Communion. We will seek to purge out, and we can't go into all that, just to say it. What are some of the consequences of sin? First one, God said, if you eat this fruit, you shall die the death. So death came into the world, and all the consequences, so sickness and everything. That's another thing that St. Michael is famous for. It's interesting. He is famous for curing people miraculously. The springs dedicated to him. Throughout the world, it's amazing, from way back. Why is that? And these springs of water, as our Father Spears pointed out, of the miraculous places of the Blessed Mother, the Marian shrines, why water? It's the baptism. What is the great conqueror of sin but baptism? And so it's shown by St. Michael in these springs of water, where the water cures the effects of sin, all these illnesses we have. So he even helps us in our physical ailments. But as we close here, we want to leave everyone with that confidence. That's why God has given us St. Michael. The confidence that despite everything around us, we're waiting for that moment of the battle as Joshua, and I've just arrived. That's what it says. I've just arrived. And he has done it many times. This is one of the times which we don't always recognize this one. You know the whole battle at the Milvian Bridge? You know, Constantine, we just had the story about that for the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Well, do you know, St. Michael was there, and he says, appearing to Constantine after the completion of a beautiful church. So Constantine, in gratitude for what happened, had a church built in honor of St. Michael just outside Constantinople. It's called the Michaelion, which the latter had erected to his honor in gratitude. He said, this is what St. Michael said to Constantine, I am Michael, the chief of the angelic legions of the Lord of hosts, the protector of the Christian religion, who, whilst thou wast battling against godless tyrants, placed the weapons in thy hands. This noble edifice, generally known as the Michaelion, became the scene of many miracles wrought through the power of the great archangel. This is our prayer, that St. Michael will continue to help us, to protect us, to protect the sacred liturgy that has been trusted to us, and that he will be there whenever we need him, but especially in the days ahead, when we know, maybe we won't, maybe the children here won't, but sometime we will have to face the Antichrist and his false prophet. And that's when St. Michael will appear. I've just arrived. May God bless you.